Welcome to the Gene Oliver Podcast, where we talk all things business, art, and lifestyle. This is your podcast for building a more creative life. I created a free resource and mini workbook just for you. 10 tips to take back the peace for a more beautiful life. A free ebook if you're looking for some rest in your day-to-day like I was. Go to GeneOliver.com/10tips to get your free resource. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at GeneOliver.com, where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I am Gene Oliver, and today I'm talking with founder of Kristen's Farm Stand, Kristen Shield. Kristen, welcome.
Hi, Gene. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited you're on today, and I would love for you to tell everybody just a little bit about what you do.
Well, Kristen's Farm Stand is an online farmer's market. We do direct-to-consumer farm products. So everything straight from, in Colorado, straight from local regenerative family farmers, organic produce and pasture-raised proteins, and we deliver straight from the farms to your home. We're also in the process of expanding into other markets, so I'm really excited to see what's upcoming on the pipelines.
Well, and we personally order from Kristen's Farm Stand all the time, and what I'm excited for everybody listening to hear is just kind of the history and the journey that you've been on as an entrepreneur. And so for everyone listening, Kristen and I go back quite a ways. So we were young moms living a few blocks away from each other back when you actually started your first business idea, or at least the first business idea I know of. And I believe you are a 12-year-old with business ideas. I believe that now after as long as I've known you. And so correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember you were getting certified for landscaping at the time, and then your business idea completely changed. And so you had had a dream about reviewing cars for moms. So looking at cars from a mom's perspective. So did you really just wake up that day and just know that you had to follow that idea? Because that would be okay, because it's a really great idea. And did you struggle at all about giving up your landscape design dreams?
Yes. Well, I was in the process of becoming a certified master gardener when the kids were little. And it was just, I always had loved gardening and plants. I studied biology in college, and I just was always drawn to that sort of natural world. What happened was when my oldest daughter started preschool, I really wanted a car that I could carpool in. But of course, being from Colorado, I was driving a Subaru Outback at the time, the state official state car. So I had the two car seats in the back and couldn't fit a third car seat. And I was really struggling, like, which car would work for me as a mom? Surely someone's writing about this online. And I went to bed one night with that kind of swirling in my head. And I had this very vivid dream. And it was unlike most dreams. You know, most dreams are kind of obscure and foggy. This one was very specific and vivid, that I was going to start a company writing car reviews specifically for women and moms. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought, well, that's bizarre. Like, I don't know anything about cars. I don't really know anything about business or writing or editorial or creating a website. Like, this is a very strange idea, but the impact of that dream was so strong on me that I woke up in the middle of the night and wrote down every detail of that dream. And that became my initial business plan. I followed that step by step, mainly because the idea just wouldn't leave me. Mm-hmm. It was one of those where I kept trying to talk myself out of it because I had no experience. But the idea kept coming to me and it would not leave. So I finally just decided, okay, I'm going to tiptoe into this just to get it out of my system. I'm sure I'll fail. I'll take the first couple steps. The doors will slam shut. I'll get it out of my system and I can move on. But what happened was every step I took, the doors blew open. And I was like, oh, shoot, I guess I have to keep going. And then I take the next step and then the doors just kept blowing open and it became this incredible snowball of a kind of a PR fiasco. I mean, it was just bizarre. I kept getting all of this media exposure. And within 2 months, I started getting acquisition offers from large media conglomerates in the automotive media space, and ended up selling the company 36 months after I started it. So a complete cash acquisition.
Yeah. Well, and it's, to me, it's, I'm picturing us at the park with our babies sitting, and here you are sharing these ideas and the, and all of these new things that are happening with you. And so I would even like to just even backtrack a little bit before we even start talking to what you're doing now, because I think it's so fascinating. And what I love so much, Kristen, is that love of nature, that love of gardening, and then combined with how strategic and how well you work as a businesswoman really comes to like full form later, like now in what you're doing too. And I just think that I love all these little pieces of the puzzle coming together. And so, and I love that. I love that because I think for anybody listening, you know, you sometimes don't realize how the pieces will fit. And so
I think most of the time you have no idea how the pieces are going to fit. For me, the biggest lesson with that first business was listening to my intuition. I mean, how many of us have had that intuitive voice that has spoken to us and we talk ourselves out of it because we feel inadequate. We don't feel like we have the experience. We don't feel like we are able to do that. I mean, I had every card stacked against me, but there was just something different about this message. And so I really felt the responsibility to at least try to follow through with it. And because I did that and I had that initial success, I'm much more in tune now to those intuitive voices or messages or, you know, whatever you want to call them. I think that I pick up on them more now.
Well, because so, you trust yourself more now.
I trust myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When you sold Motherproof, how does one even begin to know how to negotiate such a large sale?
You know, at the time I was actually negotiating with three different companies, and the timing just worked out really well to have the three of them negotiating at the same time, because I was able to kind of leverage them against one another. But I really didn't know. I had to go out and seek people who did know and who were kind enough to share their information with me. On top of that, I just had a really great M&A attorney, mm-hmm. who, by the way, was also a young mom. Oh, side note, she got pregnant with triplets through artificial insemination on the day that we completed the Motherproof acquisition. She was actually at the doctor's office reviewing the final documents.
That's awesome.
So I just love seeing her triplets grow up now, because it just is, it's serendipitous. It was just really interesting. But with Motherproof, I hired a lot of single moms and other moms who, you know, were married, they were incredible career women and decided to put their careers on hold to stay home with their families. There was just this vast network of women like that that I was able to tap into who had expertise in the areas that I did not.
Right. Well, you think so strategically too, and it's one of my favorite things about watching how you create and grow and really thrive in business. What advice would you have for our listeners if they would even like to pitch their idea to somebody like the Today Show or local news or their favorite magazine? Because I think you've done such a great job, not just in the past business of Motherproof, but currently in what we're going to talk about coming up on in Kristen's Farm Stand.
Well, I think the most important thing is that there is a really compelling story behind the business and behind the brand. So with Motherproof, what was interesting, the company that ended up acquiring Motherproof, they found me because their PR gal, who was pregnant at the time and running on the treadmill reading Parenting Magazine, saw an article about Motherproof in Parenting Magazine and brought it to their business development people. It was just, I think, the story of, you know, there was this need and I had the need as well. I was my own target market. And again, with this business, I am my own target market. So I really understand what the need is. I personally had the need and I went in and filled that niche. So I think that when you have a compelling story and also just this drive and passion behind it, it becomes pretty seamless to start to pitch those to different media outlets.
Well, and you're solving your own problem, and then you went on to solve the problem that other people were having too.
I just knew I wasn't the only one out there with that problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about your incredible business now, Kristen's Farm Stand. So after you left Cars.com, you were working on two new startups in the automotive media industry. As you were knee deep into those, your daughter, Cataline, became very ill all of a sudden, and she lost 36 pounds in just 3 months. And she was a very small girl to start with. And so can you talk about this time and how it led you to what you are doing now?
Well, she became very ill. She was down to 83 pounds, I think, as a 16-year-old. And literally just disappearing in front of my eyes. It was really a terrifying experience because nobody could figure out what was wrong with her. And as I'm taking her to all of these doctors and all of these specialists, I kept having this nagging thought in the back of my brain, wow, it's really strange that nobody's asking her about what she's eating. Mm-hmm. You would think that with weight loss, and, you know, GI distress, the first thing a doctor would ask you about is, what are you eating? And not a single doctor asked her that. And it just struck me as wrong. And I kept feeling like the answer has to be there. That's where the answer needs to be. So we started keeping a very detailed food journal. And ultimately found a new functional medicine doctor who was able to take all of the test results from 9 different specialists and look at the whole puzzle together along with this food journal. And we came to find out that she has celiac disease, which is an autoimmune disease that is triggered by gluten. So we cut out gluten, which helped a little bit. And then we had to go further and cut out all grains and dairy, which helped a little bit further. But ultimately, what we discovered is that any foods that were non-organic, so any food that was sprayed with glyphosate, was continuing to just eat away at her gut microbiome and the lining of her GI tract. So any healing that we would do was just being undone and reversed. So at that point in time, my husband had actually been involved in regenerative farming for several years. He was working on converting a conventional farm to organic and to regenerative. So luckily we had access to food this clean. We knew where it was grown. We knew what it was sprayed with. In this case, nothing, what it was not sprayed with. And we knew how long ago it was harvested. Because after you harvest something, it immediately starts losing nutrient density. So I needed to get food in her just to get weight on her as quickly as possible after harvest. So we had access to food like that, and it was just, we were just really lucky that way. But we had a lot of friends and neighbors who were asking, you know, how do we find your produce? How do we find your beef? And there wasn't a simple answer. It was going through distributor to very large retail chains that you would know and see in your own neighborhood. And once that happens, it was out of our hands. We had no control over really how it was labeled, how it was branded, how it was displayed. And it can be very difficult to decipher all of these different marketing messages at the grocery store to find which produce is actually local, which is actually organic, and even beyond that, which is grown on a regenerative farm. So I wanted to start Kristen's Farm Stand as a single source for people to come to, a single trusted source for people to come to and find food this clean if they need it for health reasons or if they just love great food, they want to support local, and they just don't have to filter through all of these confusing messages that you would find at your grocery store or your neighborhood health food store.
Well, whatever you actually do it with such excellence and such heart that it instantly stands above. The first time I saw your business at the farmer's market, I think I didn't know that day that you were going to be there. And I kind of come around the corner and I couldn't believe the thought and the care that had gone into your booth. And I hate to even use the name booth because that doesn't even sound accurate for what you put together. You had incredible branding already. Tables with skirts, wooden crates full of fresh veggies wrapped in brown paper. You had honeycomb and fresh herbs, and you had a fridge and a freezer full of organic perishables, and the cutest people asking me if I wanted a sample, and a large screen even showing a video of your farm and where the food came from. So how do you start when you want to create a brand that connects with people? And because you started really at the markets. And they say that your brand is not what you say it is, but what others say it is. And your brand isn't about your logo, but about how people feel when they use your product or interact with your service or your experience. And so that takes intention. And can you share more about this process? Because I think it's actually something really special about how you build businesses.
Well, I really appreciate the fact that you picked up on all of that by seeing the branding, because it has been very intentional. There was a point in time when we were talking about starting Kristen's Farm Stand. We didn't even have a name for it yet. My husband and I were out for a walk and we were trying to think of, like, you know, what do we call this thing? And what does the name that we call it, how does that reflect our brand ethos? And the main thing for us, the main thing that I wanted to convey is trust. I felt so disenfranchised with health food stores that I used to go to and love and trust. The more that I learned, the more that I understood how I was being misled. And that really frustrated me as the parent of someone who was trying to save my child's life utilizing food as medicine. Right. So trust was the main thing that I wanted to convey. And initially I thought, you know, I don't want to put my name on it. That just seems very, I don't know, that seems weird. Like, is that too self-centered? And I kept thinking of this concept of trust and the fact that there's actually a real person, a live person behind this brand. It's not a conglomerate of different farms that are pretending to be something that they're not. It's a live human. So ultimately that's what led me to using my name, because I wanted to develop a close relationship with my customers. Whether I see them in person or not, I want them to feel the time and effort and energy put into the way that we grow food for their family as well. Mm-hmm. So we went down that path. And yes, every part and piece has been intentionally developed to try to convey that level of trust.
No, and it shows. So you went from farmers markets to home delivery, to collaborating with farmers, to stopping the farmers markets, to now expanding even out of Colorado. Like, you are constantly expanding into new markets. Would you share a little bit about your new 600-acre farm on the Utah-Idaho border?
Yes. Well, we're really excited to be launching in both Boise and Salt Lake City, and everywhere in between starting in March. So we're on a new property in Malta, Idaho, which is just on the border between Idaho and Utah. 600 acres. It really is just a patch of bare dirt that happened to have hot water on the property. So we have geothermal water on the property coming out of the ground at 270 degrees. So we had a partner who came to us and they're like, we really want to utilize this geothermal, you know, property, but we're not really sure what to do with it. Maybe we can put some greenhouses on it. We thought, well, yes, greenhouses, that's something we know how to do, but we really want to utilize all of the space outside of the greenhouses as well. So we're taking this regenerative model and putting it on that property, which essentially means, you know, this dirt has been so overgrazed and so abused that it really just is dead dirt. And we're coming in to rehabilitate the land and improve the soil so that we can grow the most nutrient-dense produce and proteins possible. And the greatest thing is with the geothermal energy on the property, we're able to heat our greenhouses radiantly using the hot water that comes out of our ground naturally.
So will you still have the farm in Brighton?
So we actually sold the farm in Brighton last December, and we're hoping to create a new one here in Colorado as well. We're working with some different potential partners on that project. But what's been interesting is what we're doing in Colorado so far, we've been able to kind of test different methods and see what works both from a farming perspective and from a direct-to-consumer perspective, along with the branding. And now we really feel like we have that model perfected and we're able to replicate it in different markets.
Your emphasis is really on regenerative farming. Can you explain really for everyone what this means and how it impacts the food?
Regenerative farming is all about improving the soil quality of the land so that we're able to capture carbon from the air and pull it back into the soil, essentially reversing all of this damage from years and years and years of big ag. So we do that in many different ways. We start with something that's called Johnson Su bioreactors. Sounds really fancy. It's actually just a very passive form of composting that allows us to create this perfect blend, a one-to-one ratio of fungus to bacteria in our compost bins. We're able to complete that in 6 months, which would take normal composting 12 years to complete. So we take that fungus and bacteria ratio and we create a tea out of it. And then we take cover crop seeds. So we have a blend of two different types of kale, sunflower, alfalfa, clover, and buckwheat. And we turn those seeds in that compost tea so that we're wrapping each seed entirely in this one-to-one fungus to bacteria ratio. Then we take this seed and we drill it into the soil over our entire property. We never till the soil because we want that fungus and bacteria to grow and multiply. And so we just drill it in rather than tilling it, because as we till it, you disturb all of that microbiology, which essentially kills it. So we don't touch the soil, we just drill it in. Now that cover crop grows, and we then take our cattle and move the cows incrementally around the farm, eating that cover crop. We move them each day at a specific time of day when that cover crop is at its peak nutrient density. So our cows are only eating the highest nutrient density blend of grasses. And I use quotes because really they're eating better than we are. Kale, sunflower, alfalfa, clover. They're eating some pretty incredible things. And then we take our chickens through after the cows. And the chickens eat the bugs that are left behind in the cattle manure. The pigs come through after that, and the pigs kind of root everything up, and they root up dormant grass seeds from underneath. And this process and the input that the animals have on the land really builds topsoil and improves the quality of the soil so that it's improving the quality of the nutrient density of that cover crop we're growing, which directly relates to the nutrient density of the animal itself.
I think what's amazing as I'm listening to you, and I'm remembering that about 6 years ago, I think, because Jack, our oldest, and your oldest are the same age, yes. And we were having dinner while all the kids were at a dinner for homecoming. And I remember you talking, so this is about 6 years ago, about that your husband's farm, I think it was tomatoes maybe that he was really focusing on at the time. So in 6 years, so this is before Coteline got really sick. So I'm listening to you, and you would think you have been doing this your whole life. How have you been able to learn and to not just learn, but to quickly implement, because your farm has changed incredibly in a short amount of time, and you've expanded over a short amount of time. How are you able to gather that knowledge and then implement it so quickly and so well?
Well, I think one thing, my husband, Chris, and I, neither of us come from farming backgrounds. We both come from startup backgrounds. So we have a very different mindset. We're not stuck in this mindset of like, oh, we have to do things the way my dad did them and the way my granddad did them. And, you know, we weren't going to be subjected to any sort of, you know, familial or cultural degradation by doing things in a different way. So we were not afraid to try to do things differently. Sometimes I think not having experience is actually incredibly beneficial because you're just not, you're not privy to the same boundaries that other people are. Referencing back to Motherproof, initially a lot of people said, well, you can't do this. This isn't the way things are done. And I thought, well, I don't know the way things are done, so it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm just going to try it. And lo and behold, it works. Mm-hmm. So I think that having a little bit of naivete, it can actually be incredibly beneficial. From a business perspective, you end up stumbling upon things that you wouldn't, that you would be afraid to try otherwise. So I think that's, you know, we just don't have that same level of fear.
I think it's how your mind and heart works on almost every area of life that I know of with you, kind of that you were willing to try a new school, you know, concept here in town. You were, you know, open to your younger daughter doing unschooling when that was right for her. And I love that, even being on your farm when we were on your farm in Brighton, like you said, hey, I don't have to, I feel no obligation to do things like somebody else did it. And I'm free to take the best from wherever I can get it and implement it. And so I would love to hear, and I know everybody would love to hear, how's Cottaline doing now?
She is incredible. She has healed remarkably. You know, it'll be a lifelong struggle for her, particularly socially. You think of how much of our lives center around food, going out on dates, going to family's houses, going out to dinner with friends. She will never be able to enjoy those things the same way that we do. However, she has taken what has been given to her and really made the best of it. She's now certified as an integrative nutritional health coach, and she's helping other people, other young people, adjust to medically necessary gluten-free diets. And what's really interesting is that she is in the process right now as we speak in moving to Italy. So she, you would think Italy would be the least friendly to people who have issues with gluten. Actually, the opposite is true. There's an Italian Celiac Association that oversees all gluten-free labeling, restaurant training, cross-contact training. She's really able to thrive socially there in a way that she isn't able to do here.
No, it's really incredible. And I've watched her over the last year travel to so many different countries. And she really does just, she looks so great, but you can tell that she's living such a rich, beautiful life. And she's brave in a way that so many people her age, you don't see just, like kind of grabbing life, like the way that she's doing it. And maybe that's because she was sick for so long too. But she's really doing so many beautiful things. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say she has gained back all of the lost weight, and she's studying medical anthropology, doing her thesis on celiac disease and in other cultures. So she's traveling essentially around the world and studying different celiac associations and understanding, you know, how in other countries they're able to really help people with celiac disease thrive socially in a way that we just haven't quite gotten to in the United States yet. But what's most remarkable about that story to me is the incredible power of food, yes. The healing power of food. It really, truly is medicine. We changed nothing else other than her diet. And within a 3-year period, she gained back all of that weight, plus an extra 5 pounds, and she is just thriving in a way that most young people her age aren't yet.
And it's not that you just changed her diet. You actually knew exactly where it was coming from, exactly like what it was being, what was in it. And like you said, so many things that you thought you were doing well, you were being misled on what was really in your foods. And so that makes the struggle even harder. And so, all right, I have one more question for you before we go.
All right.
I would love to close with, if you were not running Kristen's Farm Stand, what would your alternative career path be?
Because
you know you're going to have a new business in like 3 years or something.
The thing is, with each of my businesses, I didn't go out and seek them. They came to me. And so with Kristen's Farm Stand, I'd been feeling for a while like, oh, you know, I don't think I'm done. I don't think I was a one-hit wonder with my first business. I really felt called to something else, but I didn't know what it was. And I dabbled in a few different ideas, but none of them felt right to me, and none of them came to me with that same level of intuition that Mother Proof did and that Kristen's Farm Stand did. So I think with a future business, it's going to be one of those things where I wait for it to come to me. Mm-hmm. It'll be something that I am my own target market. That's been consistent across all of my businesses because I can walk the walk along with my customers or my clients.
And I think too, because you've just learned to trust yourself so well now. And when you hear that, when you feel that, when that, you know, it won't go away, I think you just know like that's when it's right to follow it and to walk it out and see where it leads you. And
I feel so lucky to have had that lesson and that message, because it translates to so many different areas of my life. It translates across just business. To be able to have that trust in your intuitive voice is just incredibly powerful in all areas of life.
It gives you the best chance of living a beautiful, authentic life. Because I think, like you said, we all have it. We all have those pulls and those whispers and those leadings. And are you going to grab them? And are you going to like allow it to take you on a really beautiful adventure?
And so, that's just the thing. You know, that was my biggest lesson. Before Mother Proof, I was a planner. I planned out everything. And I thought, okay, you know, this is the next step. It was planned. It was color coordinated with, you know, matching sticky notes. And what I realized with Mother Proof and now with Kristen's Farm Stand is that if you're brave enough to just take the roller coaster ride that is set out in front of you, it will always turn out better and more enriching than the path that I would have planned for myself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a beautiful way to end. How can everybody find you?
So if you're in the Colorado area, you can find us online at kristinsfarmstand.com. That's KRISTINS. If you're in Boise, it's kristins-boise.com. And Salt Lake City, kristins-saltlake.com.
Kristen, thank you so much for taking the time today to just tell us a little bit about just the beginning of learning to trust yourself through where you are today and just everything that you're building. And thank you for sharing Coddling's journey too and how that even brought you not just to a beautiful business, but to provide such incredible whole foods for so many other families too. So thank you so much.
I hope that her story can help others in the same position.
Thank you. I created a free resource and mini workbook just for you. 10 tips to take back the peace for a more beautiful life. A free ebook if you're looking for some rest in your day-to-day like I was. Go to jeanoliver.com/10tips to get your free resource. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at jeanoliver.com where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. We have over 150 courses from teachers around the world. Thank you for joining me this week. Don't forget to let us know what you thought of this week's podcast and make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing. Thanks for listening and see you next time.